This is lesson TBP number 29, and the series we're on is called The Prayer of Praise, Thanksgiving, and Worship. And this particular lesson in our series is called Our Private Time with the Lord.
Tonight, I'm sort of like Paul, I guess, in one way, and that's probably the only way. I'm before you in weakness and fear and much trembling. A couple people have asked, you know, from time to time, and recently as we get on praising God and spending time with the Lord and stuff, you know, about private time and, you know, what do I do? And we're talking about fellowshipping with the Lord and things. And so I just prayed about this, and I had three or four different teachings, you know, that I was working on. But Marianne said, you know, this was her pick. So, well, I know fully well, when you talk about people's private time, you're talking about something very personal. And in no way, in what I'm talking about tonight, is this to say this is the way, because it's not. There's many ways. The Holy Spirit is infinite variety, and everybody's different. But there are some people that seem to flounder a bit. I know I have in the past, and don't quite know what, you know, to do and things like that. I'm just a few guidelines. Now, if you got a really good prayer time going in the morning and everything, I'd just soon sit down and listen to you, because there's no right or wrong way. Okay, but there are a few guidelines. So if this kind of goes against your grain a little bit, or this is not what you do, that's fine. You know, oh, this isn't something that's black and white in the Bible, but God does give us some guidelines in His Word. So first of all, I think every Christian desires to spend time with the Lord. And if you're going to spend time with the Lord, you want to spend productive time with the Lord. And for lack of a better name, I've heard people call this their private time. And so that's what I call it here. And it is prayer. You know, any time, any communion we have with the Lord is prayer. And that's the topic of what we've been talking about the last, I think it's getting on 9 months now. You know, just doesn't seem to be any bottom to this thing. But this is prayer too. So let's just talk about this a little. You know, in a way, I'm a little bit leery of this for another reason. That is because it seems like as I prepared an outline, it was a lot of just stuff in there. And there's a lot of scripture references, but what I like to do is I like to get in the Bible and read stuff, you know, and I don't like too much of stuff that there's personal opinion. I'm not big on personal opinion. I think it should be based on the Word of God. But sometimes you can have a little bit of that too, I think. So anyway, let's give it a go. I titled this thing, Things You Might Find Helpful in Making Your Private Time Fruitful. Things that I've learned over 20-some years of this and some things that have worked out for me. First of all, you need, I think, to find a spot that you can kind of go to on a regular basis, that you're going to be able to leave your reference materials and things there where the kids won't get in them and all that kind of thing, and a place where you won't be interrupted too often. So I think that goes without saying, so I'm not going to spend any time on that. Secondly, I recommend that you pick a regular time, because, you know, we're all creatures of habit, and whatever you start to do on a regular basis will soon become a habit and will soon become something that you don't have to make a decision every day. Do I do this now or do I do it later? You do it now, because this is what I always do. It's much easier when you have a habit. When you got to, it's sort of like exercise. You know, I used to run a lot, run marathons and things like that. And if you every day make a decision, am I going to train today? You know, it's a burden every day. Well, okay, well, maybe I'll skip today and do it tomorrow. But if you just do that, that's your thing you do every day at noon, after a while, this is not a burden, this is what I do, you know. And I think that ought to be the same way with your private time. It's something you do. It's on a habit, it's on a regular time, a regular place, and that's just what you do. Now, having said that, you know, later on, there are some caveats. We're not all the same place. We're, you know, when I think of somebody that's really busy, I think of a young mother. I don't know anybody that's busier than a young mother with a lot of little kids. You know, I look at my daughter, and I don't know how in the world she does it with five little kids. They're all delightful, but they're a handful, you know, and she's got a lot of other things that she does with them. So there's ways of having fellowship with the Lord without spending a lot of time on a one-to-one basis. You can have fellowship with the Lord throughout the day. You can be washing dishes. You can be sweeping the house. You can be laying bricks, and you can pray in the Spirit, you know, and we'll get to that later. First of all, pick a regular time, I think, and stick to it. Now, I prefer mornings right after I get up for several reasons, and I think they're all good ones. And I recommend if you've been battling this, well, do I do it in the morning, or maybe I'll do it this evening, try to do it in the morning. Because first of all, Turn to Proverbs 8:17. I believe God prefers this time. Now somebody says, okay, legalism, God didn't say anything, I don't have to. That's right, you don't have to. But I'm just saying that God says in His Word in Proverbs 8, verse 17, He says, and you know who's talking here? Chapter 8 is a marvelous chapter, and it's all good, but this is a wonderful chapter of the Bible. If you don't think God's ever speaking to you, read this and you'll get done, you'll find out, He's speaking, it's just I'm not hearing. Because God is speaking to all of us all the time. Verse 17 says, and wisdom is talking. And even in verse 12, it says, I, wisdom. The Holy Spirit is called in various places in the Bible, Spirit of truth, Spirit of grace, Spirit of faith, Spirit of wisdom. The Holy Spirit has many attributes to His personality. And in Proverbs here, one attribute that Solomon is writing about through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. We all need wisdom. And I could go on about this wisdom thing for a while because it has borne, it's the one thing in my life, I think, that has meant more to me. It's just God's wisdom in situations that come up in business, day to day. Man, if you can hear from God, that's the battle. You got it knocked. The trick is hearing from God, and it's not a real trick. It's easy. He wants to communicate. In fact, if you read the first few verses here, we'll read the first one. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She stands in the top of high places, by the way of the places of the path. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors. Who's she calling to? Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Who's that? That's us. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. God, with all of His heart, wants to communicate with us. I could go on here, but let's go down to verse 17. It says, I love them, the Spirit of wisdom is talking, that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Now you think, well, that just means it's a top priority. And it does mean that. But if you look it up in the Hebrew, it says, those that seek me early, it says in the morning, and it says when you arise. That's actually what that means. And I think the Holy Spirit said, and that's not the only time, but I think it's a good time. And it's a good time for several reasons. One is, God kind of recommends it here. Number two, your mind is fresh in the mornings when you get up. And you can give God your very best. You're not tired after working all day, you haven't been chasing the kids all day, it's not to the very last thing when you're just can't keep your eyes open. You're sitting here with your Bible and your eyes are falling shut and you're nodding and everything in you says, I think I'll give it up as a bad job and start fresh tomorrow morning. That's what I'll do. And if you start in the morning, you don't have that battle. It's easier. Okay? Your mind's fresh. Another thing that's really nice is I would say that 90% of the time when the Lord has spoken to me, it's been early in the morning. You say, well, that's because you're always up in the morning spending time in the Word. That's your time. How else is he going to? Well, that's right, in a sense. And that's when you hear from God, is when you're quiet with Him. But also, a lot of times when I'll just wake up in the morning, and I'm sure you've experienced this too, and just as you're coming awake and your spirit's just completely open to the Lord, your mind is quiet, your body's quiet, the day hasn't started yet, there'll come that scripture, that thing that I need for that day or something will just come. It's so easy then. I can hear it so. It's very still, but you can pick it up so much easier in the morning when your spirit's fresh and you haven't had all these things coming at you all day, when you're kind of dealing with stuff. You know what I'm talking about here? It's a very tender time, and I think that's a good reason, because your spirit really has the preeminence then. See, your spirit is always in contact with God. The thing that interferes with hearing from God is your flesh gets in the way and your mind gets in the way. And as you go throughout your day, your mind becomes more active. Your flesh is more active. You're doing things. Only for me, first thing in the morning, people like Kenneth Hagin, I think they can flash into that, just instantly turn off the mind, turn off the body, and what's the Holy Spirit saying? Me, I have to get really quiet and get away from things. I'm still in a learning phase here. But in the mornings, it's so nice because the day has just begun. Nothing has really fouled it up yet or gotten in the way. That's another reason. Your spirit has a preeminence then. You can hear from God. The fourth thing is, you'll get it done. If you wait till the last dog dies in the day, the temptation is going to be, I'll start tomorrow, Or I'm tired tonight. And that's what happens. Or TV's blaring or whatever. You'll know you'll get it done. you know. This is a little different tonight, you know. Just bear with me a little bit here. It's not so much word-oriented, but I think some people seem to want this kind of information. Okay. Next one. It will provide peace, direction, and time spent efficiently throughout the rest of the day. I don't know how many times some time spent in the morning has reaped a tenfold return during the day in time because of something I learned or something that happened or just the peace. You know, when your mind isn't going, what will I do about this? What will I do about this? There's a peace. Wait a minute. Nothing's that serious. Let's calm down here. Figure this out. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, that's all you really need to do is quiet down a little bit. If you can just be there and not have to, you know, go apologize to somebody for blowing your top and, you know, call somebody on the phone, I'm sorry what I said, you know, forgive me, you know, all that waste time, you know. And if you spend time in the morning with the Lord, a lot of that stuff doesn't happen during the day. Isaiah 26:3 says, I will keep that one in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me. That's a truism from the Word of God, but it's very true. I will keep that one in perfect peace. You want peace? You want real peace? Peace that's so deep and so pure and so good. Start your day off with the Lord. Spend time in His Word. Spend time talking to Him. Philippians 4, 6-8 says, be anxious or careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and then the peace of God will come. See, we're talking about prayer here, you know, with thanksgiving. That's during your private time, your quiet time a lot of times when you're doing that. The peace will come. And you'll get guidance throughout the day. Joshua 1:8 says, those that meditate in the Word day and night and observe to do that which is written therein and turn not from it to the right or to the left, but observe to do that which is written in the Word of God after they've meditated on it, they shall deal wisely in the affairs of life and prosper. Okay? So there's a return. If you're meditating in the Word in the morning, throughout the day, you're going to be reaping benefits from this. The Word of God promises it. Joshua 1:8. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. Start the day off by committing everything you do unto Him. Lord, this is your day. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I commit my whole day to You. Now, Father, I fully expect, because I've done this, that You will establish my thoughts because Your Word says so. And I'll usually go on and confess to some other scriptures or something like that, like the Lord has made unto me wisdom, the Holy Spirit's my teacher, He leads me into all truth, shows me things to come, brings all things to my remembrance. You know, because I need that help as I go throughout the day. That's all promises in the Word of God. So the point here is the morning is a good time for this kind of stuff because you're fresh. All right. Third, I think your private time should be just that, private. The reason I say that is there is a place for family devotions. That's all well and good. But you also need time just for yourself and God, one-on-one. I mean, how else are you ever going to learn what God is really like, how He speaks to you? He's a little different with everybody. That's what I think is neat about God. He doesn't treat us all like robots that are all got the same personality, all got the same, you know. He'll deal, I mean, I listen to some other people and God deals with them one way. I mean, speaks to them one way maybe. With me, it's a little bit different. I think it's really kind of neat the way each one of us has our own personality, has our own relationship with God, and He'll deal with us individually just like you do with your children or whatever in a family. They're all a little different. And some respond this way, some respond to this. I think it's really neat how God's got time to deal with each one on an individual basis for our own personalities. So you need the private time just to learn this special thing that you and God got, you know? I mean, that's different from anyone else. I mean, if you go to church and you sit out there and that's the only exposure you have to the Holy Spirit and to your Heavenly Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be getting it filtered through someone else's experiences. And that's all good, but it's even better to get this kind of one-on-one way He wants to deal just with you. You're all different. And God wants to treat you special as an individual in a special way. And it's nothing more precious than to find out what that way is. And the only way you're going to find out is to get away and get by yourself with God and develop this relationship. You'll learn how He speaks, what He's like. It will build your faith and your ability to please Him in praise. As you begin to praise Him sometimes, and that doesn't happen every time, you know, can always be good praise. Because what it makes good praise? Good praise means that you're from your heart praising the Lord. And if you feel nothing, it's success. Because after all, He got something from it. And that's what praise is all about. Right? Sure. So don't ever come away from your prayer time saying, well, I guess nothing really happened because I don't feel any different. Hey, if you praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords from your heart, something happened. Right. Whether you felt it or not. Right. He got blessed. And that's what it's about. But sometimes, occasionally, without any warning, God blesses your socks off. It's a wonderful thing. You know, you've experienced this. You get a gusher all of a sudden. And God doesn't do it every time that way. You know, He doesn't say, well, okay, 10 minutes, here it comes. Because every time at 10 minutes, we'd be going, it's 11 minutes. What happened, God? You know, and all of a sudden you're there for your benefit, not His. You see what I'm saying? God's smarter than that. Sometimes He'll give you a real gusher then. Sometimes throughout the day, He'll give you drips and drabs of something, a blessing here and there. Just you'll be doing something all of a sudden. Whew! Where did that come from? Just love all over you. Just a surprise for me, Mike. You know, came out of your time this morning, just thought I'd dump a little on you now. And if He doesn't, that's fine too. But I love the individuality of the whole thing. And another thing is, this intimate knowledge of your Heavenly Father is protection. If you're out there in the world and somebody says something to you and they're purporting to be from the Lord, you know, you're going to go, well, that's not God. Well, how do you know that? Because you know your Heavenly Father. You spent a lot of time with Him. That ain't God, okay? You know, you're going to know your Heavenly Father. He says, my sheep will know my voice. Well, they're going to know His voice because they've sat in that private time. They've learned what He talks like, what He sounds like, everything about Him as He shares His own personality with you. That's a real safety thing there.
Now let's go over the homework for this particular lesson. Let's see. First question, true or false? Since prayer in its broadest sense is communion with God, if we commune with God in our private time, this is prayer also. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. It is true that prayer in its broadest sense is simply communion or speaking, having contact with and spending time with God. And if we do this in our private times, this is also called prayer. It doesn't have to be us asking the Lord for something for it to be called prayer. And there are many types of prayer, of which in our lesson here, the prayer of praise, thanksgiving, and worship is only one type of prayer. There's many other types, the prayer of faith, the prayer of agreement, prayer in the Spirit, and there's other types as well. Okay, next question. True or false? Jesus never needed to spend private time with God because He was and is God. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. It's certainly true that Jesus is God. He's part of the Godhead. That's true. We know that as Christians. But He did need to spend time with His Father because, remember, Philippians chapter 2 tells us that when He came to earth, He gave up His godly powers. And when He lived on this earth, He lived as a Spirit-filled minister for God the Father. And so he was showing us how to live our lives on the earth. And He did miracles and things like that using the gifts of the Spirit the same way that we can do them today. Now, we don't have the same degree of anointing that Jesus did, but these things are all that Jesus did are available to the body of Christ as a whole. So since Jesus gave up His godly powers when He came here, He did need to spend private time with God to get instructions on what His Father wanted Him to do. So the question, the way I've worded here then, is false. He did need to spend private time with God. Next question, true or false? Yes, Jesus spent private time with His Father, but this was not prayer. Is this true or false? Well, that's false. He did spend private time with His Father, and many places in the Bible says it was prayer. He prayed. He went in the desert sometimes. He got up early in the morning sometimes. And the Bible has quite a bit to say about the fact that Jesus did pray when He went to talk to His Father. As a matter of fact, one of the times that's widely known is when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane the night He was betrayed. He prayed to His Father then, too. So He did pray to His Father. So the way this question is worded would be false. Okay, next question. Name three things, Mark 1:35, Luke 5:15 to 16, Luke 6:12 and 13, and Matthew 14:23 have in common. So you had to go back and read these scriptures and then write down what you saw in these scriptures that they all had in common. Okay, well, what did they have in common? Well, first of all, in every case, Jesus was praying. So that's common between all these scriptures. Secondly, in all these places, Jesus was in a solitary place for praying. So the second thing that they have in common is he went to a solitary place to pray. The third thing they have in common, it was just Jesus. In other words, it was a solitary person there, Jesus, praying. So that's the third thing. And the fourth thing is that was common, and this is sort of implied by the other three things I've given, is he went to a place in each case where there would be no chance for interruption. Even in the prayer where Jesus in the garden went to be away, remember he asked John and Peter and I believe it was James to stay behind as he went forward to pray. So he did this so that he could pray without interruption to his Father and to be alone. Even though he asked him to go almost all the way with him, that last little bit he went by himself. Another thing they have in common is he did it early in the morning. So I've given you more than three things here. In all these cases, I believe all these cases had in common that he did it early in the morning. I could be wrong about that, but I think they do have that in common. Okay, but we do know this. Three things they have in common is, number one, Jesus went to pray. Number two, it was a solitary place. And number three, he did it by himself, so there'd be no chance of interruption. Okay, next question. In Luke 6, 12, and 13, what happened after he spent this night in prayer to his Father? Now, if you read on further, you find out that in that, right after he came from praying, he chose the 12 apostles. Now, it doesn't make this connection, but I'm sure in my own spirit this is what happened, that he went and he spent that night in prayer with his Father, and his Father showed him which ones of the disciples that were following him to choose for the 12 apostles. And it happened right after he spent this night in prayer to his Father. So, what happened after this night in prayer to the Father? Well, whether you think his Father told him this or not, it is certainly true that after this time in prayer, he did choose the 12 apostles. In my own spirit, I believe that his Father showed him that night which of the disciples to choose for the apostles. Okay, next question. What does this show us? Well, I believe this is what it shows us. If we want to hear from God, we must provide an opportunity and environment for God to speak. I'll say that again. What does this show us? If we want to truly hear from God, it's our responsibility to provide an opportunity and an environment where God can speak to us. In other words, you know, the reason I say this is so many people say, well, I've asked God about this, but they never provide an opportunity for God to speak to them. They're so busy, they fire off a quick prayer, Father, show me what to do about this situation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And that's good. But then you've got to provide an opportunity for him to speak. If we just go about our daily business day after day, going to work, taking our kids to school, and all the necessary things we have to do, and never provide a time during our private time for God to speak to us, we may never get the answer, even though God has been trying all along to speak to us. Proverbs chapter 8 has a lot to say about this. It says that God is trying to speak to us all the time. And so many times, we don't hear him, simply because we don't spend time listening. And so this quiet time, or this private time with the Lord, is a perfect opportunity for us to spend time with God, to hear from him. One of the scriptures in James, it says, draw close to God, and he will what? Draw close to you. So if God isn't drawing close to you and answering your prayers on what to do in situations, maybe it's because you haven't drawn close to him and spent time, quality, quiet time with him. Okay, next question. If we don't spend this private time with our Father, what might not happen? Well, that's implied in the previous question, but what might not happen is this. We may not hear from God about things that vitally affect our lives, and that can be dangerous, folks. If we don't provide time for God to speak to us in a private time where we get just alone with him, and the Bible calls it our prayer closet, we may not hear from God about things that are going to vitally affect our lives. So, folks, We need to spend that time with Him. Now, not every time will He reveal something to us, or maybe not even half the time, but occasionally, when we're in that quiet time with Him, He'll reveal something to us about our lives, something we need to do. And folks, if God speaks to us that way, we need to pay attention, because sometimes that will save us a lot of trouble. And even if we don't hear a specific word from God, when we spend time with the Lord, we get other benefits as well. We may not know it at the time, but things throughout the day will go easier for us. Something that we made to make a decision during the day that we didn't know was coming up will be easier to make, simply because we've sensitized our spirits to God's Spirit early in the morning when we got up. Next question. For our private time, we should find a spot that can be your place on a blank basis. It should be a place where you can keep your blank and reference materials, and where you won't be blank. Well, you can take this right from the outline, and this is what goes in those blanks. For our private time, we should find a spot that can be your place on a regular basis. It should be a place where you can keep your Bible and reference materials, and where you won't be interrupted. That's very important. You need to find a regular place on a regular basis where your Bible and reference materials are already there, so you don't have to go around the house chasing everything down, and where you won't be interrupted. And this may mean that you have to make special arrangements to do this, but folks, we need to do this. Every Christian needs to have this special time with the Lord. No one is too busy to have this time. Some people may not be able to have as much time as others, depending on their circumstances. And I'm thinking right now of mothers of young children. It's a tremendous task. But even so, if you'll ask God to show you how a time of day that would be best for you to spend with Him, or to just create an opening in the day, if you really attach that as a priority in your life, God will open areas for you that you'll see, oh, here's 15 minutes. I could spend this with the Lord. I'll just get my Bible right now when the kids are down for a nap or whatever. But we need this, folks. If we don't, we're like a car that the battery's getting lower and lower and lower and lower. And so we need to just make this a priority in our lives. If we don't, then there's things that God may want to speak to us that we'll never hear in our lives. And that would be a tragedy. Think about it for a second. Of all the people you communicate with every day, there's one that has absolute truth and absolute love for you every time He speaks. He wants the very best for you, and He will always speak the truth for you. And we need to provide the opportunity here, if we're smart, because these times are precious times when we spend time with God and He shows us something about our lives or about our day that we need to do or how to make a decision. This is a precious, wonderful thing, and we need to provide opportunities for God to speak to us. What time of day does the Bible seem to recommend for this private time? Well, any time of day is better than no time of day, okay? But it seems that the Scriptures emphasize the morning. For example, I'm going to spend a little time on this answer because I think it's important, and I've never heard anybody really teach on this before. So just turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, and let's just read a few Scriptures here about this. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, talking about Jesus. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Okay? So we see several things in this verse. In the morning, He rose up a great while before daylight, and then He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there He prayed. So there's a lot of the things we were talking about. Jesus went by Himself. He went to a solitary place. He prayed, and He did it in the morning. Another place we might turn to is Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. And I'll just turn there right now. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. The Holy Spirit, speaking through Solomon, said, I love them that love Me, and those that seek Me early shall find Me. So, this implies seeking Him first part of your day, early. So there's another place. Turn to Psalm 63, and we'll read another account. Psalm 63, verse 1, says, O God, thou art my God. And this is David. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee, as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. So there's another indication that morning is a good time. Turn back to Isaiah now. Isaiah chapter, right after Ecclesiastes here, Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. So here, Isaiah talks about desiring him, God, in the night. So that's okay too. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. Again, early in the day. So we have here so far, we have Jesus, we have Solomon, we have David, and now we have Isaiah, all recommending early in the day. Now let's turn to the book of Hosea. Let's look at Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. And the prophet Hosea, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Again, early. And finally, let's turn back to Isaiah again and look at chapter 50 and look at verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Again, here in the morning is when God is speaking to Isaiah. And he's saying he hears from him in the morning. And so, again, the morning is a good time to hear from God. Okay, now, I've asked you for some scriptures. What time of day does the Bible seem to recommend for this private time? And I've just given you Proverbs 8:17. Psalm 63:1, Isaiah 26:9, Hosea 5:15, Isaiah chapter 50 verse 4, and also I gave you Mark chapter 1 verse 35. Now, give three reasons why this might be. In other words, three reasons why the morning might be the best time for your private time. Well, there's several reasons. Think about it for a minute. First of all, in the morning, number one, your mind is fresh, so you give God your very best. You know, so many times we wait till the end of the day and try to get in our Bibles, and we've worked, gone to work, we've taken care of the kids, and we're just settling down a little bit, and our minds are kind of frazzled, and we've watched a little mind-numbing TV, and all of a sudden we think, well, I haven't had my private time yet. And we go in, and we're just, our eyelids are drooping down, they're trying to shut, we're almost drifting off to sleep, and we're trying to spend time in the Bible and with the Lord. And it just isn't working. So one reason why it might be a good time is your mind is fresh in the morning, so you give God your very best. Number two, your spirit has the preeminence, so you can hear from God. When your spirit is fresh in the morning and your mind is fresh and you're just getting up, it's easy, I find it's a lot easier for my spirit to contact the Holy Spirit and vice versa. It's easier to hear from God. Number three, your day hasn't gotten too, I put down, rowdy yet. That's what I said. You know, after your day gets kind of rowdy, it's kind of hard to settle down and spend time with the Lord. Your mind is always flitting here and flitting there. Whereas in the morning, when you first get up, it seems like your spirit's quiet, your body's quiet, your mind is quiet, and it's just a good time to spend with God. Later on in the day, our mind is not quiet, our body's not quiet, and it's just harder. Number four, you know you'll get it done. If you do it early in the morning, you know you'll get it done. Whereas if you put it off until evening, all kinds of things intrude in our day. And many, many times we don't get that done like we'd like to do it. And so Another, that next reason was, you know you'll get it done. Number five, I think it is, it will provide peace, direction, and time spent efficiently throughout the day. In other words, if you do it in the morning, your whole day can benefit from it. Whereas if you wait until evening, your day can't benefit because it's past. Like it says in Philippians 4, 6, and 8, you know, it says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in everything, by prayer, this is what we're talking about, in supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and then the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your heart in mind through Christ Jesus. Wouldn't you like to have that peace throughout the day rather than waiting till the evening? All day long will be better if you spend that time early in the morning. So there's many, many places in the Bible that I could quote on this. Joshua 1:8, Psalm chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. All of Proverbs 8 is good. Proverbs 16:3. If you want to write those down, all of these are other places where it tells the benefits of spending time with the Lord, especially in the morning. So give three reasons why this might be. I'll go quickly. Number one, your mind is fresh, so you give God your best. Number two, your spirit has preeminence, so you can hear from God. Number three, the day hasn't gotten too rowdy yet. Number four, you know you'll get it done if you do it in the morning. And number five, it will provide peace, direction, and time spent efficiently throughout the day. Proverbs 16:3 is really a good one. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. If you commit your works unto the Lord for the day in the morning, then your thoughts can be established all day long. Okay, moving on to the next question. True or false? There is a place for family devotions, but we also need to spend time just for ourselves and God, one-on-one. True or false? Well, that's true. Certainly nice to spend time with our families and family devotions and that, but you really primarily need time just for yourselves and God. And teach your children. You know, have family devotions, but teach them that they need to have a private time with their God. Even when they're small, you know, teach them they need to go in their bedroom or somewhere like that and be quiet and talk to God. These little kids, you know, they have the Holy Spirit. When they're born with the Holy Spirit. A lot of people don't know that, but they are. Romans 7:9 tells us that and other places. But anyway, these little kids have the Holy Spirit, and you'd be surprised how quickly they can pick up on these things. If you just show them, you know, go in your room, honey, and spend a little time and just talk to God. That gets them in the habit of doing this when they're young, and they'll continue it all their lives. And God will speak to these little children. You wait till sometimes they come out of their thing and say, you know what? I think I heard God speak to me. That'll make goosebumps come up on mommy and daddy when they hear that kind of thing. So, you know, we need to have family devotions, true, but more than that, I think, we need to teach our children to spend quiet time with the Lord on their own, too. And we need to do it ourselves and give them a good example. You know, there's nothing like a good example like seeing mommy and daddy up in the morning in their Bibles for kids to see that on their way to school or whatever, that mommy and daddy, yeah, you have to get your kids ready for school, I know that. But, I mean, they need to know that mommy and daddy are spending time in the Bible themselves. It's the best example in the world. It's very hard to teach your children to do something when you don't do it yourself. We all knew that, right? Okay. Next question. These are the times when we learn how God blank, what he is blank, when we build our faith and our ability to please our Father with our blank, and when we learn to blank from him. Well, you'd never be able to fill us in unless you looked at your outline. But let's go back, look at your outline, and fill in these blanks. And this is what goes in here. These are the times, in other words, these times early in the morning that we spend with God, when we learn how God speaks, what he is like, when we build our faith in his ability to please our Father with our praise, and when we learn to hear from him. So the thing that goes in these blanks are speaks, like, praise, and hear. Next question. This intimate knowledge of our blank will protect us from those who purport to blank for him, but really blank. What goes in here? Well, from our outline again, this intimate knowledge of our Father that we get from these early times in the morning, I'm talking about, will protect us from those who purport to speak for him. But really, don't. Folks, I have found over the years that this time that I spend alone with my Heavenly Father in the morning protects me. I'll tell you why. When you spend time with your Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, you learn how God speaks. You learn what He's like. It just sort of infuses your spirit with a knowledge of what your Father's like. So that when someone says, this is what God says, or it'll just clank like a rusty tin can with rocks in it or something. When you hear that, you think, that doesn't sound like my Father. Well, folks, God sounds the same way all the time. He doesn't sound one way one time and one time another. In other words, He won't say one thing one time and then contradict Himself somewhere else. And so when you spend time with your Heavenly Father in the morning and the Lord Jesus Christ, you learn what He's like. You learn what His voice is like. You learn from His Word, studying His Word, what things He is for and what things He's against. So that when someone comes out and says, this is what God said for me to tell you folks today, well, if it doesn't agree with the Word, you know that's not true. Or if it just rubs your spirit the wrong way, so to speak, say, that doesn't sound like the same God I meet every morning in my study. Well, then you better beware of that, the little teaching. There's something wrong somewhere. See, everybody who purports to speak for God doesn't. Isn't that right? Now, a lot of them do, and that's fine. And when you hear that, your spirit will feel like it's being fed, just like a good meal when someone is speaking the Word of God and teaching the Word the way it's supposed to be taught. But when they're not, you need to know when it's not right. And that time spent in the morning with your Father and the Lord Jesus Christ causes you to know Him so much better so that you're never fooled by these types of people. Okay, next question. Jesus said, my blank, hear my blank. And when we hear that blank is most often when we spend quiet blank with Him. Okay, let's go over this now. Jesus said, my sheep, hear my voice in John 10:27. And when we hear that voice is most often when we spend quiet time with Him. That's most often when you're going to hear from your Lord. Not when you're busy, not when you're running around and busy, you're not going to very often hear from God. In an emergency situation, you might, but you might not too. But it's in those quiet times when God will give you His Word and show you things. And from the Bible, there'll be things that will just be imprinted on your spirit that, oh my goodness, I never looked at that way. I need to change what I'm doing in my life. Look, it's not lining up with the Word. Those are things from God, folks, and we need to listen to these things. Remember, it's not enough just to know what the Word says. The point is, we must do what it says. And so a lot of times it's in those early morning times where we hear that quiet voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us through His Word saying, son, you haven't been doing this quite this way. Look how much better things would be in line with my Word if you changed a few things here. And boy, I'll tell you, when I hear that, I think, okay, yeah, I see that, Father. Thank you very much. I'll make a change. Okay, next question. All blank and blank should be blank, even if very blank. Okay, I'm ready to get into some controversy here, but I'm going to say it right out the way it is, and if you don't like it, well, you research the Bible for yourself. But listen, all prayer and praise should be verbal, even if very quiet. Folks, I know, I hear what you're saying, but what about silent prayer? Forget it. But in our church, it says, let's everybody bow our head in silent prayer. Forget it. That's not prayer. Nowhere in the Bible is anybody ever praying out of their minds. We need to speak silently. Move our lips a little bit. You can do it very quietly, but we need to verbalize these things, folks. There is no example in the Bible of silent prayer. And folks, think about it. If you were responsible for your thoughts, every thought you gave, like, well, God, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, God doesn't listen to our thoughts as far as prayer goes. Thoughts are like a filter. You think of something, now how should I pray about this? Maybe I'll do this, or maybe I'll do that. I'll ask God for this, or maybe I'll do it this way. Finally, when you get all straightened out in your mind, then you pray. So that's why God gave us our mind and why He gave us a mouth. So that we can speak what we want. See, the words is what's got power, isn't it? I mean, think about it. All through the Bible talks about the tongue of the wise is health. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, you know. What you believe in your heart and say with your mouth will come to pass. Oh, I say, not in your mind. The mouth, the words spoken in our mouth are very powerful. Listen to my tapes on the law of words, for example, in our series. So, all prayer and praise should be verbal. That's our example from the Bible, even if very quiet. Next question, true or false? Silent prayer to our Father with the mind is a waste of time. And that, folks, is true. Sorry, but it's true. There's no instance in the Bible that I have ever found where someone prayed with their mind, even though we do it all the time in Christian churches. Folks, change your habits, you know. I mean, be teachable. Don't get mad. Just be teachable. Don't you want your prayers to be heard? Well, then speak them, even if very quietly. I can pray in bed at night, and I do often. And it doesn't even bother my wife, and she's laying right beside me. You can pray silently. You can just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need to pray about this one thing. You say it very quietly. You can whisper what you want to do. So always pray to the Father in the name of Jesus with your tongue and mouth, even if very quietly. Okay, next question. Even when Jesus left his disciples and prayed by himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible tells us he spoke aloud. Is that true or false? That is true. And I give you a hint. Go back and read certain scriptures if you doubt this. And that's not the only example. Everybody in the Bible always prayed out loud. Or at least it never says they prayed silently or in their mind. Okay. Enough about that. Let's go on to the next question. Mark 11:23 says that what we believe in our blank and blank with our blank will come to blank in our lives. What does Mark 11:23 say? Mark 11:23 says that what we believe in our heart and say with our mouth will come to pass in our lives. Boy, isn't that a sobering thought? So if you haven't been getting what you want in your life, maybe you're saying the wrong things. You can't pray one thing and say another. You know what I'm saying? When we pray, then you have to let your confession, what you say, be consistent with what you're believing for in your prayer. If you immediately pray, for example, finances, and 10 minutes later are saying to somebody, I don't know what I'm going to do. We're just out of money. I don't know how we're going to meet our rent. You've just blown your prayer. Because now you're believing in your heart and saying with your mouth, it's not going to come to pass, even after you just prayed for this thing. So be very careful, folks. And again, if you have more questions on this, go listen to my series, The Power of Words. And our last question, Proverbs 18:21 says, blank and blank are in the power of the blank. I think most Christians know this, but Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So, who rules over that tongue? We're supposed to rule over that tongue. And we're supposed to say things that are life into our bodies, not death. But I hear so many people saying death. I was just thinking, you know, I just had my 50th high school reunion this past weekend, and I saw some people I hadn't seen for almost 50 years, I guess. And it was amazing to me. I mean, I'm still active. I'm still, some of them came out to our house, and I was painting the house, and I had just finished coating our driveway, which is over a quarter of a mile long, by hand with an 8-inch roller, and they were just amazed. And I didn't think much of it, but they were saying, well, I can't even lift my arm. I couldn't paint more than 5 minutes. My shoulder would be killing me. And another guy said that my back is so bad. My back, it just wouldn't stand. I wouldn't be able to paint for 10 minutes. My back would just be killing me. Folks, you know, they don't realize, and I know they're probably not Christians, but they don't realize what they're doing with their mouth. They are preventing themselves from enjoying a good, healthy, happy, wonderful later years of their lives. God doesn't just let your body... Yes, we get older, and yes, things do slow down in our bodies, but they don't have to get that bad. My body is healthy. I said afterwards, Father, thank you for a strong body. Thank you, Father, that I can still do all these things because of your Holy Spirit that indwells my spirit. And the scripture that just came to me as I was saying that is found in Romans 8. I want to just read this as we close. It says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Does he dwell in you? If you're a Christian, yes, that Holy Spirit dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Folks, if we're Christians, we should have bodies that are functioning just fine until we go on to be with the Lord. Because we got that mighty Holy Spirit in there. And if we don't make negative confessions and say things against this, that's the way our body will be. It'll be strong. It'll be healthy. I'm 68 years old, and I'm still doing the same work I did when I was in my 20s. I worked for my son for 3 years, and concrete just stopped a year or so ago. That's a hard job for anybody. I still run marathons. I got one scheduled for this December. I'm 68. That's a 26-mile race. And I'm not trying to sound braggy, but I'm just saying, these things are possible in our older age, if we will just keep our confessions centered on the Word of God and not say things like, well, I can't do that. I'm just too old. My back is just terrible shape. My arm, I can't raise it above my shoulder. Well, you're never going to be able to raise your arm above your shoulder if you keep saying that, because what you say with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you believe it in your heart, will come to pass in your life. You need to start saying what the Bible says about our bodies, folks, especially you older ones out there that hear this. Okay, that's enough for today. That completes our homework.